Hi, Richard Feidler here. Thanks for downloading this Conversations podcast. There are many, many more at abc.net.au/conversations.
Conversations with Richard Feidler. On air, online, and podcast.
And now for a man who rides a different kind of beastie. Willie Ropp is a 25-year-old bull riding cowboy from the United States. Believe it or not, Willie says the key to staying on a violently bucking bull is to figure out what it's thinking. When Willie Ropp came here, I was keen to find out what the bull rider is thinking, if he's thinking at all or operating on pure instinct while he tries to stay on the back of 1,500 pounds of angry, aggravated beast. What makes Willie unique is his background. Willie Ropp grew up in an Amish community in Missouri. No phone, no lights, no motor car. When Willie was 10 years old, he sneaked away to watch the local rodeo, and he was hooked. Willie Ropp now travels the world as a member of the USA bull riding team. I spoke with Willie when he was in Australia at the first Bull Riding World Cup on the Gold Coast.
Well, thanks for having us.
Willie, you're from a pretty large family. How many brothers and sisters?
Well, I'm the youngest of 12. There were 6 boys and 6 girls in the family, so I guess I'm pretty blessed. I'm glad they didn't stop before they got to me. So,
you're the youngest of 12. Did that mean you got a lot of attention, or did you were you the baby of the family?
There wasn't a whole lot left by the time they got down to me, so I guess I just got whatever's left, and that's kind of when I'm a scrawny little dude, I guess.
People are very interested in the Amish, of course. Tell me a bit about, because the Amish communities are different from place to place. Tell me about the community that you grow up in.
The community I grew up in is one of the, probably if you start off from the West Coast going east, it's probably the one of the larger Amish communities. It's a kind of a big tourist place. A lot of people come in. There's a lot of great Amish shops to go to, and they handmade furniture, and they do still do a lot of farming and stuff. And like me, I grew up driving a team of mules and putting up a lot of hay and plowing fields and putting up corn, and just that's what we use. Is we didn't have no tractors or such like, and we was rounding up a lot of cattle and saddles and stuff, and rode a lot of horses and you know, handled quite a few cattle and such, and that's just the way it was. More like they lived back in the early 1900s is a good way to explain it.
Lots of hard work.
A lot of hard work, you know. We didn't watch no TV, you know. We was working the whole time. We worked from sun up to sundown, and I don't regret it all the way I grew up. I believe it made me for who I am today, and we learned how to work for nothing and help other people out and help neighbors out, and we all helped each other out, and it was a very great thing to do.
Helping each other out, that's a very big thing for Amish people, isn't
well,
it?
Like for an example, like when we put up hay, there's about 6 of us neighbors always helped each other, you know. We just go around, you know, because we put up a lot of hay and we had a lot of work, and it was easier for us to all kind of work as a team, you know. And that's a great thing the Amish are really good about, is doing and working as a team.
How about schooling? What kind of education are you able to get?
I only went to 8th grade, but no, I didn't. I kind of cheated a little during the last couple of years. So, but I seem to get along pretty good out here, you know, so I guess I got along all right in there. So,
now that you're out of it, do you miss that lifestyle much, the gentle pace of that life?
Well, I tell you what, the difference I found between the way I grew up and out here, like riding bulls, going from town to town and country.
So when you say out here, you mean out in the world?
We would call it in the world. Where I come from, this would look like to the world, you know. But it's more of a fast race, you know. Where they're from, no telephones, no TVs. They don't go to bed at night listening, you know, about wars and all this. You know, they're always, it makes them happy, and they stay a whole lot more humble. And that, I think that's good for your mind, you know, and it's just a lot more different, and it's I think it's great.
How did the community make money to buy what they needed?
Well, like for an example, we had stock cows and we had dairy cows. A lot of people had dairy cows to start out with, but it got to where you couldn't make a living on dairy. So a lot of them got to doing construction work, and there's a lot of sawmills, and my brother's got one of the third largest sawmills in the state of Missouri, you know, and another one of my brother cuts logs. And so, you know, there's all kinds of different things that they kind of trade out and do this and do that, you know, to make money.
And is there still that big culture of craftsmanship, like making beautiful chairs, furniture?
Yeah, I mean, they advertise all over Amish-made furniture, you know, and we have a lot of it shipped in also from other Amish communities, you know, and we sell a lot of great Amish furniture, you know, and they advertise that a lot. They're pretty good at it.
Yeah, seems kind of nice in a way in a time when most of us, you know, assemble our own furniture these days from a box. It seems kind of nice.
Yeah, some of this kind of falls apart sometimes, you know, but some of it's pretty good, you know.
Willie, did the community buy things from the outside world?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we went to the grocery store, but I'd say probably 95% of what we ate, you know, my mom and dad raised, and we had a big garden and whatnot all. And there's certain things that we'd buy, but not a whole lot, you know. But as far as buying and trading from the outside world, yeah, we've done that a lot. You know, we back and forth. My dad sold a lot of stoves and chimneys and fireplaces, and so a lot of your old people would come out and buy a real nice fireplace because they'd be putting up a fancy house, you know, and just things like that. You know, they'd trade a lot of back and forth. You know.
How about prayer, when Amish people are at prayer? I read somewhere that there aren't churches because you go to each other's house. Is that how it works?
Well, that's the way they do, and I'll tell you why. It's just because, like, for an example, there's maybe 14 or 15 families in one church district, and what they do, they have church every other Sunday, and, like, half of the community has church every other Sunday, and then because a lot of it is family, so they can help the other part of the family on the other Sunday. So, like, for an example, if I went to church every other Sunday and in between Sundays, my dad would have me at home, and we'd have a little family Bible study and whatnot all. And it was kind of great that way.
Tell me how you got your first look at bull riding.
Well, bull riding, lads, that's a story I love to talk about. When I was about 9 or 10 years old, I snuck off with my brother to a mule sale, and there was a rodeo right next door, and I got to going over there, and I was really amused by it. I never dreamed I'd be getting on a bull, but I love watching it, you know, and I snuck over there for 7 or 8 years in a row, and then two of my real good friends of mine left, and they started riding bulls, and they done pretty good at it, and had a hometown bull riding, and I didn't even know I was riding in it, and I thought I'd always want to ride. I was 19 years old when I got on my first bull, and they entered me at the hometown bull riding, and I think I did, and they'd won quite a bit of money, but I believe I done better than what they did that night. After that, I was hooked, you know, so I've been riding about 4.5 years since I started hitting it pretty hard. And out of them 4.5 years, I've been injured for about a little over a year. So that's only like about 3.5 years that I've been riding bulls. So,
well, when you were sneaking out, did your parents know you were sneaking out?
Yeah, but they didn't like it. You know, they don't disown me or nothing like that. They're just kind of disappointed the way I chose the lifestyle, you know. And it is kind of a pretty sad situation. I go back and talk to my parents quite a bit, and they're really good to me, you know. The thing about it is, where I come from, if you talk about bulls, they don't know nothing about rodeo. And for an example, we have a lot of dairy bulls and Holstein bulls. They're really bad about being real mean and get you down and killing you, you know. So, and I had to do some explaining, you know, about how the bulls work. And, you know, we got bullfighters and do this. You can still get hurt. You know, it's not a matter of when you get hurt. It's how bad, you know. My dad understands that pretty good now, you know.
My guest in conversation at the moment is the amazing Willie Ropp, who's one of the world's great bull riding champions. Willie, tell me what it is like. Tell me what a bull is like. Like, I've never been that close to one. What kind of a beast is it? What's its nature like?
I tell you what, there's two different kind of bulls. There's the ornery bull, and there's the bull that loves his job. And when we find that more and more, you know, years ago when we rodeoed, they just brought bulls in out of the pasture that were mean, and they done this and they done that. And when, quick as you hit the ground, always, even nowadays, you want to get out of there, you know. But there's bulls that look for you. They what we call eating you up when you get on the ground. But nowadays, they breed these bulls, and they're very, very well cared for. And I mean, these bulls are taken care of better than most people take care of their children. I mean, they're like a pet, you know. And some of the bulls back home, you can actually go back in the back pens and pet them, you know. That's how gentle they are. But when they put the flank strap on them, which is, it's just something that just makes them buck, and they love bucking, and they're bred for it. And you turn the music up, and the rider straps his hand in there, and the gate opens. It's the bulls on the bulls' part. It's they love doing their job. And, you know, I've had a bull that stomped on me last year, and he was the most gentlest bull in the whole pen. Some bulls, quick as they get done throwing a rider off, it could be 5 or 6 seconds into the ride, they just stop and just walk back to the back pen. Now, as a bull rider's part, you know, what goes through your mind, every bull is different, you know. Some bulls buck harder than others. Some, you know, they just, they don't intend for you to get hurt, but some of them do different things every time. And what goes through your mind is, you know, what it goes through a bull rider's mind is when the gate opens, any little thing can different happen. And when you take that last rope between your fingers, you know, and tie your hand in there, and you just, you give it all you got. And it's just, it's something that's hard to explain unless you really, really do it.
Willie, I want to go back a little bit. You just mentioned in passing you got stomped on. Oh, man. Where and how and I'm going to ask the obvious question, did it hurt?
Well, that one hurt. The other time it didn't really hurt. The reason, he stomped on my side of my head, tore half my ear off, tore a bunch of muscles down the back of my neck, on top of my shoulder and into my collarbone. But I'm pretty sure he went lame for about 3 weeks because he had a split in his hoof after that. But no, that's what I tell everybody. But no,
You look fine. They stitched you up pretty good.
They sure did. We had some of the best sports medicine in the world, you know. But I healed pretty fast. That took me about 2 months to get over that.
All right, Willie, look, take me through what happens to you when you're about to get on the bull. Take me through moment by moment how the bull ride starts, what it's like when you're on, and then what it's like when you're off.
Well, the thing of it is, bull riding is a very humbling sport. It is impossible almost for a bull rider. It never has been a bull rider that hasn't been thrown, and there never has been a bull that hasn't been rode. So that's what makes it interesting. You know, if you don't do things correctly each and every time, that bull's going to throw you off. So you're trying to do everything right. I do my homework, and I show up, and I intend to ride everything I can get on. And there really ain't a great bull rider at this level here. He knows there ain't a bull out there that he can't ride. But the thing of it is, he's got to ride him the first time he gets on him or every time he gets on him. You know, like, for an example, you may draw a bull five times and only ride him four times. You know if you make one mistake, you can get thrown off. So when you get on this bull, you know, about two or three bulls ahead of you, you know, you start getting pumped up and really thinking about it and really, really stay focused. And you get your rope hot and sticky, and you slide up there and
first of all, how do you get on? How do you actually get on the bull in the first place?
They run the bull in an alley. And then they got chutes for these bulls, metal chutes that are just a little bit bigger than the bull. And then they'll have a gate opening towards the arena that'll let the bull out once you nod your head. And when you get in the chute, nothing matters. I mean, for what you did in the past, for what you got to look forward in the future, you know, nothing matters. What matters is right now is between you and the bull. And the thing of it is, let the bull buck. It's kind of like a man and a woman on the dance floor. You try to be the woman. You can't override him. You can't override the bull. But the secret is to match moves. So, like, I try to be the girl, and I try to match moves with the man. So, so that's the only, and like, if I get ahead, you know, the thing of it is, a bull can come out and spin 100 times to the left. And if I get into that spin a little bit, you know, I get ahead of him a little bit, he's going to go the other way. A bull is smart enough to talk. Them things are so smart. They're tricky.
So you're saying that the experienced bulls will recognize, like an experienced rider, that what you do is a kind of a strange and very, very, very violent dance of a kind. It's a dance.
Exactly. You dance with the flow.
And when you're in that chute, you say, just when you're about to get on the bull, have you been studying that bull? Have you been watching it carefully?
Like for me, this week, I won't know any of these bulls here, so I'll go back to basics. But at home in our country, there's certain bulls that they got a little trick in them that throws a lot of guys off, and I like to know that. And sometimes people will come up and tell you about that, and there ain't very many tricks that I've ever not been thrown at. I mean, I believe that a bull has probably thrown every little trick at me.
So what kind of trick is that? What do they do?
Well, for an example, when they come out, they may hop and skip and walk on their front end before they turn back. And when they do that, it throws your timing off. Any little thing that they can do, or they may come out and throw their head to the right, like they're going to spin to the right and drop their shoulders to the right and just whip it around to the left. You know, just a few little tricks like that. Or they may really twist and belly roll. When I say belly roll, that's when they're kicking, they'll kick their back feet up towards the left and their front feet will be reaching out towards the right. You know, they can really twist, and there's just a lot of little tricks. Just if you don't know nothing about bull riding, there's just a lot of little tricks there that they can do to throw you off.
So it's almost like they're smart enough to have a strategy then.
Oh, exactly. You know, and a bull can do this. Some bulls do the same thing every time, but a lot of bulls do a little bit different every time, you know, and that's what makes them a great athlete. And that's what, you know, they're bred for that. That's, they got to do that, because if not, we'd be riding them about all the time, you know.
So once you get on the bull, you have to stay on for 8 seconds.
8 seconds. So you don't get paid if you don't stay on for 8 seconds. And then if you stay on for 8 seconds, you got to have – the whole deal is during the bull ride, one hand in the rope, against 2,000 pound. I call them 2,000 pound large farm animals. One hand in the rope, one hand in the air. If your free hand touches the bull, you're disqualified. Okay, you make the 8-second whistle, and I've rode bulls for 7.999, and you don't get paid for that. I mean, that's why they have an 8-second whistle, and they have three judges, one on the back shooting, two in the arena, and as high as you can, they score the bull 50 points, and they score the rider 50 points. It's the most that you can get. So a lot of times they'll try to score maybe the rider 45 and maybe the bull 45, and that would be a total of 90 points. You know, a 90-point is a great, great bull ride. Anything over 80 is a great ride, you know. But
so is that judged by the length of time you stay on the bull?
You first got to make the 8-second whistle, and then they'll give you a score. And then to get money, you got to place in the top eight. So if there's 10 guys ride a bull out of 40 riders, there's two guys not going to get paid. The top 10 or the top eight out of the top 10 will only get paid, you know.
Well, so many people would say rugby league is the toughest sport in the world. It's clearly not. This is the toughest sport.
Well, I tell
in
you
the
what.
World.
It's tough in every which way. You got to be physically, but the most part is mentally tough. Day in and day out, associate with the traveling, and there's a lot of headaches. If you let it be a lot of headaches, there will be a lot of headaches, and you got to try to make it as simple as possible.
Given that what you do is so intense and dangerous, is there always a tiny little bit of fear before when you're in the chute and ready to go on?
There, I really try to block that fear out. A lot of people do have it, but I really try to block that out. And I'm not the greatest person in the world, I tell you that right now. But I really believe in, you know, I read the Bible and I believe in the good Lord. And I turn it over to faith, and I have faith that he'll protect me and watch over me. And because if there is fear, I never compete at my greatest. And when I get on, 98% of the time there ain't no fear. The fear that I've got is the fear of losing, and everybody's scared of losing. Nobody wants to lose, you know.
The amazing Willie Ropp is my guest, a man who knows what it's like to go from the peace and gentle life of growing up in an Amish community to the slightly wilder life of a professional bull rider. Before you get on the bull, you say in that moment in the chute, that's the key thing for you. You say you forget, you drive out all thoughts of what's happened before, what's going to happen in the future. You're just in that moment.
You're trying to be in that moment. Nothing else matters than what happened. So when that gate opens, you try to let your subconscious mind kick in, because if you think it's too late, you got to be physically, mentally react to that bull, and anything can happen. He can come out, spin to the left. He can beller and ball and go back to that ride. I mean, what goes through your mind, and then when you do make the ride, you know, if you don't make the ride, it makes you pretty humble. It makes you come back every time and try harder, you know. But when you do make that ride, it's what it is. You see a lot of these bull riders circle their hats, and I always got a big old smile. If I'm 76 points, if I'm 90 points, I've always happy, you know, just because I've accomplished my goal. And a lot of guys, you see them throw their hats, it's not because it's pride, it's because they're releasing the tension that they have built up all week long to come to the bull ride and get a bull rode. It's, you know, that's why you see them happy, and that's what the adrenaline rush you get out of it when there's thousands of people in the stands screaming and hollering at for you, you know, cheering for you. That's what the adrenaline rush like that is. You just can't buy it, you know.
So once it's finished, if you've been successful, you've lasted your 8 seconds and you've scored well, what is that feeling like then?
It's like when you was a kid and you got your first bite of ice cream, you know. It's even better than that. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like you bring your fiance some flowers or something, you know. It's a great feeling. It's a feeling of relief, but it's a great feeling of happiness and successfulness and knowing that you did what you come to accomplish.
Leading up to that moment, you're thinking about it all the time. You've got this concentration and you can't really relax, and then that all releases then. A week's worth of tension then relaxes?
Well, the thing of it is, some riders are different than others. Like, for an example, I don't even try to think about what bull I'm getting on or doing this or doing that. What I'm training for right now, day in and day out, is very positive thinking and believing in myself and believing that I can do what I can do, and that is ride bulls and be great at it. And I work on my mental, and I do this and I do that, and I work out, you know. If I think about the bull, that'll stress me out. I just try to do my homework. So for when I step on the back of that chute, get ready to climb on that bull, I got faith in myself that I'm ready for whatever he throws at me, just because I have practiced in the past several days, in the past months or weeks, you know, I have done everything all in. Nothing matters. What matters is right between me and the bull when the gate opens, and I believe I'm ready to compete and do whatever he throws at me.
In that 8 seconds, you're being thrown around as hard as anyone is, can be thrown around on this planet. And you're bobbing up and down. Your point of vision is like going everywhere. You're being thrown up, back and forward and sideways. You're doing everything you can to hang on. What happens in that 8 seconds? Does your conscious mind kind of just go a little bit kablooey? And does your subconscious mind then have to take over?
The subconscious mind, you want to train it to take over quick as you nod your head. And it's better if everything's kind of in a blur that you don't really remember nothing because everything happens so fast. Now, for an example, some of these bulls come out and they're just really nice spinners. They're kind of easy to ride. And you might get a little lazy on them on a bull that... What I like to get on, what's even better, like the bull in the short round, let's say the top 40 bull riders of the night will be getting on two bulls. Everybody will be getting on two bulls. So let's say the second round bull of each night will be a little bit tougher than the first round. That's what's so great. And these ranked bulls, when they come out, you don't have time to think. It's all reaction. When you're riding a bull dead easy, let's say 5 or 6 seconds, and you get to thinking, all right, I'm going to win me a big check. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Boom. They throw you off right there. What happens? You get to thinking, your subconscious mind quits working. So if everything can kind of be in a blur, you know, it's all about focus. You got to focus and focus and focus.
On what?
On the bull and on your job and on your move and staying square and matching moves with the bull each and every jump, you know. Ride the trick out of every hair that he's got on him, you know. Ride him till his horns fall off, you know.
Does that ever happen? Can you stay on the bull? I don't know anything about this sport. So do you ever get to stay on until the bull eventually just calms down and walks around for a
bit? The stock contractors don't like that because what'll happen, you'll make the bulls even more gentler. And after 8 seconds, you need to pull your tail and you need to get off of there, you know, because if you ride them for 15 or 20 seconds, the bulls, they love their job, but it's going to get old to them. It's not going to be fun anymore if you stay on and keep on riding them, you know.
So the bull's having a great time.
The bull's having a great time. For an example, the 3-time world champion, Little Yellow Jacket, back home, he had such a great time that when he'd come out, and a lot of he was ridden like 4 or 5 times out of like 70 or 80 trips that he's been tried. And every time he'd come out, he was the friendliest bull at home. You could walk out in the pasture and pet him, you know. Every time he'd come out, he'd throw a guy off at 2 or 3 seconds, and boy, he'd pick up his head, and boy, he'd paw a hole in the ground, and I mean, he wouldn't leave the arena right away. I mean, he wanted everybody to know.
Like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, in other words.
The 4 or 5 times that he got rode, boy, he tried to run the guys down. He didn't like if he got rode. He loved his job. He knew he was the best in the business. I mean, he was proud of himself. And for an example, another thing, how great that he loved his job, every time that the stock contractor, the bull owner, would load all the other bulls to go with him, and he'd leave Little Yellow Jacket at home. Little Yellow Jacket would be right there at the gate bellowing and bawling and wanting to get in the trailer, and he'd run alongside the driveway on the other in the pasture fence, bellowing and bawl as the trailer would be leaving, going out the driveway. He'd want to go with him. And if, for an example, if he ever wanted to be caught, the owner could just go out in the middle of a field with a big trailer, truck and trailer, and open the gate, and Little Yellow Jacket jump right in. He loved his job. He knew he was the greatest, and that's why he's the only 3-time PBR world champion bucking bull.
All right, you're a very experienced bull rider yourself. But, of course, you weren't always an experienced rider. There had to be the day when you did this for the first time, Willie Rock. What do you remember of your first ride on the back of a bull?
I just remember that, I used to train a lot of mules, and these mules, sometimes they were pretty raunchy and rank, and they bucked, and that's how I learned how to ride. And the very first time, I didn't have none of my equipment. I borrowed everything I got on. I had some horse riding spurs. That your bull riding spurs, they're only allowed to roll a little bit. But now when we talk about horse riding spurs, I was riding training colts that day, and these spurs, they got round rolls in them, and they kept rolling. We took some wire and we rolled them around there to keep them from rolling, and they were not bull riding spurs at all. And I had my little old Amish hat on, and I had, you know, I had everything was borrowed, and I got on this bull, and my buddies, I just stuck my hand in the rope, and they pulled my rope, and they took this rope around my hand, and they said, all right, just hang on. When you get bucked off, open your hand. And I told myself, I ain't opening my hand until I hit the ground. I wasn't going to quit for nothing. And this bull here, he kind of had me throwed off 2 or 3 times, and I'd get right back in the middle, and I proved them all wrong. I rode him a whole lot. I rode the bull about 7 seconds, but he's a bull that's usually in the short round. And I rode him a whole lot longer than most guys ever figured I would. And I come back behind the bucking tree and I said, yeah, I think you'll make it.
Well, I don't think anyone could ever question your determination. I think you're an extremely determined man.
I'm very determined. You know, it seems to me there's rookies that come along that do it a whole lot easier and get it a whole lot easier than me. But I want to make this work, you know, and I'm very determined to, you know, every injury. I've had a lot of injuries and a lot of setbacks, but I come back strong every time.
You love what you do?
I love what I do, every minute of it.
How long do you think you'll keep doing this?
Well, I'm 25 years old right now, and I believe, you know, Adriano, he's here at the World Cup this year. He just won his third world title just last fall, so he's 36 years old, and we got a couple other riders. There ain't no reason I can't have a great, great career and be in my prime for another 10 years just because I ain't been beat up as a steer rider, as a young junior bull rider, you know. I mean, I've had some injuries, but I'm old enough I can handle them. And the thing, the secret about injuries is you got to go home. You got to know yourself, and you got to go home and take care of yourself and heal up and get back into physical in shape before you come back, because these bulls, they don't have nothing negative to worry about. These bulls are healthy each and every time, and to compete against these bulls, you got to be in top-notch shape mentally and physically.
Willie Ropp, it's been a great privilege speaking with you this morning. It's been a real education for me. It's a fascinating conversation with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to a podcast of Conversations with Richard Feidler. For more information and interviews, visit abc.net.au/conversations.